So we're going to continue our study in the book of Genesis. Go ahead and turn there. We're also going to be heavily in the book of Romans. So go ahead and get Genesis chapter number 2, and we'll probably wind up in Romans chapter 7. Genesis 2 and Romans chapter 7. Now, what we're looking at here is, look at Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we have God who forms man out of the dust of the ground, and then he planted a garden in verse number 8. And in verse number 9, it says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And so what we've been talking about, I think we started last week or maybe the week before, is we're talking about the issue of the two trees, the ministry of the two trees, and the issue of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And last week we walked through the steps of understanding that death came by sin. That's what the scripture tells us, right? Over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And then that we saw that by the law is the knowledge of sin. So death comes by sin. Sin comes by law. And so therefore, looking at connecting the dots here and looking at what the knowledge of good and evil is, we also looked at some passages in the scripture that equate the knowledge of good and evil with the law. If you recall, we looked at the passage where the Israel was out in the wilderness after they had left Egypt, and before they could enter into the promised land, it was the generation that had not yet known the knowledge of good and evil that were able to enter into the land. It was the people who were not yet accountable to the law, and the ones who the other ones died in the wilderness, right? They died in the wilderness. And so therefore, there's the issue of the accountability of the law, the knowledge of good and evil. We're drawing some comparisons here. I think we made it through the first three comparisons last week. I want to pick up there and continue through the list, because we're looking at the similarities between the tree and the law. And the reason that we're doing this is for a couple of reasons. Number one, so we understand mainly what is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did it mean when Adam and Eve actually partook of the tree? Was it just that, you know, God made a tree that had poison in the fruit of it, and so he warned Adam and Eve, hey, don't eat of that tree because it's got bad fruit? Or was there something bigger at stake here? Was there actually something more beyond just poison in a fruit? And so we're looking at what that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is, and then we will look at what happened to the two trees. And then understanding what they are first helps you better understand maybe the destiny of the two trees, or the fate of the two trees. So last week we looked at, I'll just run through the first three real quick when we're comparing the tree and the law. In the law, Romans chapter 7, verse 5, we've been walking through there. So go ahead and get Romans chapter 7 if you're not already there. But in verse number 5, it says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." And so in Romans chapter 7 and verse 5, we see that sin comes by the law. It says, the motions of sins which were by the law. And then we also know not only does sin come by the law, but we also know that sin came by partaking of the tree. And then in verse number 5 there, it says, what type of fruit did the law bring about? It says that the law brought fruit unto death. And what type of fruit did the tree of knowledge of good and evil bring? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil brought fruit unto death. And I think where we left off last week is looking at the issue of the ministration of the two trees. So in 2 Corinthians chapter, I think I had the wrong reference written down last week, so I'm a bit, is it 2 Corinthians 5, 7, or is it 3, 7? It's, I think, chapter 3 and verse 7. I think I may have mixed the two around. But in 2 Corinthians, it talks about how the ministration of death. And so we'll get to that passage in a minute, because we're going to come back to it. So we don't need to quite go to it right now. But when it talks about in Corinthians how the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones. What is that? That's the Ten Commandments, right? That's the law that was given to Moses, that Moses was to communicate to the people. And yet, so what we see is that the law is a ministration of death. What is a minister? A minister is someone who ministers unto other things, and they minister certain things. The law had a ministry. And what the law ministered was death. Well, the tree of knowledge of good and evil had a ministry in a sense. What did it bring about? It brought about death. So they both had a ministry unto death. Now, go back to Romans chapter 7, if you flipped away from there. We're going to pick back up in verse number 6. And what's very interesting is as you go down through Romans chapter 7, which we're going to do today, I find a great similarity between Romans chapter 7 and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And why is that? Well, I'm equating the tree of knowledge and good and evil to the law. And as we go down through Romans chapter 7, you're going to have Paul describing kind of the ministry of the law and the effect of the law, and you'll see a lot of similitudes with the tree itself. So in Romans chapter 7, verse number 6, some of these are just basic points, but notice the similitude between the law and the tree. Romans 7, 6 says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter." So the fourth point here is that Paul is saying, do not partake of the law. He says, but we're now delivered from the law, that being being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit. So he's saying, don't partake of the law, just as we were told in Genesis chapter, well, look over, you see back in verse number 4 where it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So he's saying here that you've become dead to the law, that you may be married to another. So don't partake of the law. Look back at, look over at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So if the law has ended, should you continue doing it? The law has come to an end, so don't partake of it. That's not where you find your program. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we draw the comparison real quick, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 17 says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife," and that's my excuse, "and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." God says, because I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. God says, I commanded you not to partake of it. And what is the ministry of the Apostle Paul? What did Paul have to spend so much time in his ministry on? Why did he write the book of Galatians? Because he's having to tell the Gentiles, you're dead to the law, don't partake of it. Don't do it. The commandment leads to death. And if you're trying to circumcise and keep the law in order to be saved, then Christ will profit you nothing. Don't partake of the law. And so it's a warning not to partake. The first Adam was not to partake of the tree, and members of the body of Christ are not to partake of the law, because both of them kill just as surely as God said that they would. Now, you notice back in Romans chapter 7, what is it that we are to partake of? Paul says that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So this Spirit is what gives life. The law is the opposite of that. The law is what brings about death. So partake of life, not death. So you had a tree of life and a tree of death. And as Paul says, don't partake of the law. Don't partake of that which brings about death. Partake of the Spirit. Then, just as the same you had in the garden, don't partake of the tree. Partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which brings death. Partake of life. So point number six, look down at verse number 7 of Romans 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the sixth point here is that when you look at the tree brings about the knowledge of sin. And when you look at the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, why do I say that the tree brought about the knowledge of sin? What did Adam and Eve do after they partook of the tree? Look back at Genesis chapter 3. And if you haven't figured out by now, it's probably best to keep a finger there. At least it's at the beginning. It's easy to turn there, right? By the tree is the knowledge of sin. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth. What did he say? Now the man has become one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life. Lest he's just sinned, and now he has the knowledge of it, and now lest he partake of the tree of life as someone who is in sin, let's remove him from the garden. And so you have the issue there with the tree. And of course we know that the law brings the knowledge of sin, right? What is the law? What is the purpose of the law? The law is the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. How is the law the schoolmaster to bring people unto Christ? Is the law the schoolmaster in the way that it says that it's the grace of God that teaches men? Is it the law that says Jesus Christ died for your sins, trust in that alone, faith alone, without works? No. The law is the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ because the law ministers condemnation to people. The law comes along and says, here's the righteous standard, you've transgressed it. And it teaches you that you're not righteous and I'm not righteous. And so therefore it teaches you that you've transgressed the righteous standard and you need a solution. And that solution can only be found and provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that way, the law is a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. The law reveals sin by imparting the knowledge of good and evil. And the spiritual purpose of the law is to reveal that sin so that men may recognize their wickedness and turn to God for salvation. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is the proper use of the law. Making sure that men understand their wickedness. And I'm afraid today that we really lack an understanding. And by we, I just mean Christianity at large. So I'm just painting with a very broad brush right here. That I'm concerned that we don't quite understand the proper ministry of the law. And therefore, we minister grace to the lost people. And all we do is tell them that God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And they don't ever understand that they've transgressed the righteous standard and that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and therefore they need to come to Christ. And so what do you hear a lot of lost people, and here I am painting with broad brushes again, so forgive me. You hear some lost people say, well, if God loves me, what do I need a Savior for? How many times have you heard that said? I've heard it repeated. I've heard it said many times. The issue is not that God loves you so he's going to save you regardless of what you do. The only thing that pleases God is faith. So you understand that you're a sinner. You understand that you've transgressed the law. You respond in faith. The law is what will cause men to recognize their wickedness and know that they need a Savior. Why did God give the law? To make sin exceeding sinful. So what we've done today in our society, I feel like with this tolerance culture and Christianity caving to the tolerance culture, is that we've removed the ministry of the law. And all we do is minister grace, 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 grace. And sin is no longer exceeding sinful. Sin is a dirty word nowadays. I mean, it doesn't even enter into people's minds. I mean, the people who are so emblazoned in their sin, and they don't even think twice about it, do they? I mean, that conscience is just seared. They're just openly sinning in public. They want everybody to accept their sin. And so anyways, without getting too far down that rabbit trail, the tree brought a knowledge of sin to Adam and Eve that I've done something wrong, and they hid. And the law brings a knowledge of sin to man, and that man hides from God, don't they? So, the law is not simply content in providing a knowledge of good and evil. Like the tree, it moves from there to the destruction of the one who partakes of its ministry. All right, back to Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I had about a 1 in 5 chance of saying that right. It just happened to come out right. It says, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. So what we see is, first of all, concupiscence is a lust. It's a desire for unlawful behavior. It's I want to do that which is wrong, right? And so what Paul says here is sin, taking occasion by the commandment, when the commandment comes and says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, what that did to me in my flesh is it said, I want to do that, I want to do that, I want to do that. And so Paul says, without the law, sin was dead. So the law comes along and says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And what does it do? It makes the offense abound, because not only is the law broad, but it's also relentless, right? There's no wiggle room. It's not a gray area. And so the law comes along and it makes the offense abound. Look at Romans chapter number 5. We're talking about the offense here. The law made the offense abound, and Paul is saying that, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, by the law, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. And so look at what Romans chapter 5, verse number 17 says. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. So we have what is the offense here? That is the partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is a reference to Adam eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And this is not my point, but do you notice how that death, life, law, grace, contrasted all throughout Scripture? And right back here in Genesis chapter 2, you have life, death, death, life, law, grace, and it just continues throughout Scripture. This is the issue. God's way brings about life. I mean, if we're zooming up to the high level of the picture, God creates man, shares life, gives life to man, and man comes along and he loses that life by his action. God says, I want to give you life. There's life and death. Choose life, God says. Choose my way. choose the tree of life. Adam and Eve chose poorly. And so now there's a plan of redemption. But the law made the offense abound, because by one man's offense, death reigned. You talk about abounding. It's like by one man, death came upon all. That's causing the law to abound, or that's causing the offense to abound. Look at verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And now our lesson tonight is not to talk about grace. It's to focus in on the law part and the tree. But the law came in and causes the offense to abound. And when Adam ate of the tree, that offense, death came to all men. And then God gave men the law so that that which began at the tree would abound. The offense that began at the tree, God comes in and gives the law. And the law picked up where the tree left off with administration of death. So that seventh point there is that the law made the offense abound, and the tree is what brought the offense, according to Romans chapter 5. Look at come back to Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 9. It says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Now, I don't know if that verse paints a picture in your mind of Genesis chapter 2, but it does to me. And so verse 8 says that sin was not alive. It says sin was not alive until the law came. So we were alive before the law without sin. But Paul tells us what happens when the law comes. Paul says, "I died as soon as the law came." And so Adam and Eve died as soon as they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the law and the commandment are practically synonyms. They're used in your Bible interchangeably, even though they're separate words. They're often used interchangeably and are practically synonyms. Anybody got some cinnamon donuts? But point number 8 is that in the day that you partake of the law, you die. And in the day that you partake of the tree, God told Adam and Eve, you'll die. And they did. And so Paul says, "I died as soon as that law came. And in the day that you partake, you die," just as when Adam did. But Paul says, "I was alive without the law once." So how is it that Paul was alive without the law once? Because he was not yet accountable to the law. He was not yet accountable to the knowledge of good and evil, like we've already previously covered, and we won't spend the time to go back and look at those verses again. So Paul says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Continuing on, verse number 10. "And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." And there I see the two trees again. God, what did it say in Genesis chapter 2? "And God commanded the man, saying..." And so there's a commandment that was ordained unto life, that if you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, here's the commandment. This commandment is ordained unto life. If you don't do this, what I'm commanding you to not do, then you'll have life. But if you do, it'll be death. And Paul says, "In the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." So he says, sin taking occasion by the commandment. And so that's exactly when they partook of the tree and they sinned. It took occasion by the commandment. God commanded them not to do something. They partook, they transgressed the commandment, and sin then took occasion by the commandment. And it says, deceived me. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hold your place in Romans. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So what does Romans say? That sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and slew me. What did the tree do to Eve? Well, it was Satan who came and deceived her. And then by the transgression of the law, and was slew, it was unto death. It slew me, Paul says. Paul says, the law slew me when I partook of it. Because what did he do? He transgressed the law. And the wages, sin comes by transgressing the law, and the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 7, verse number 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. And so, the law is good. It's not to be diminished. It's not to be scorned. The law is good. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was that good or evil? Was the tree of knowledge of good and evil good or evil? We'll turn back to Genesis chapter number 1. The tree was good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 31, and God saw everything that he had made. Does that include the tree of life? Does that include the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Yes, it does. And behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God had made everything on the earth, and he says everything that he made was very good. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was good. It presents knowledge of good. What is the evil part of the law? What is the evil part of the knowledge of good and evil? What's that, Joyce? Or the evil part of it is not being able to perform that which is good. The law is holy. The law is good. The law is righteous. What do we say? The problem is not the law, the problem is us, right? Because we don't have the ability to fulfill the law. Only one man ever did that. And it brought life. And he gives it to you. So, the law is good. 1 Timothy 1:8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. If a man use it lawfully. So the law is good if you use it lawfully. Not to put men back under the law. That's an unlawful use of the law because you're not under the law. For Christ has freed you from the law. So that 10th point there is that the law is good and the tree is good. The similarities continue. Turn back to Romans chapter number 7. Romans 7, look at verse number 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now notice the issue of the tree here as we continue reading. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So the law is good. The knowledge of good is good. The problem is not being able to perform the good. And so the knowledge comes about, And this is the effect of the tree. Adam and Eve partakes of the tree. There is sin. And what happened to the flesh the moment that sin came in? It corrupted. We talk about you having a sin nature now, right? Because every man has now partaken of the curse of the tree and is now under the law, so to speak, because we have transgressed the law. And so the effect of the tree has gone down from Adam to every single one of his generations after him, which includes you, right? We all come back through Noah and up through Noah's and his three sons and back up into Adam. And so the very issue that they partook of in the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and what Paul is describing here in Romans chapter 7, that I want to do that which is good, but I don't have the power. I don't find the power within me to be able to do that which is good. I do that which I don't want to do. How many of you have proven that true in your own lives? The effect of the tree on you. Verse number 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What is the name of the tree that we're talking about? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Paul says, in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So they partook of the knowledge of good and evil, and Paul says, how to perform that which is good, I find not. This is the issue of the tree. You know what is good, but you can't do it. You have the knowledge of that which is good, but you cannot perform. And so Christ comes and performs it for us. Verse 19. Notice the contrast in verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Again, man has a knowledge of good, no ability to perform it. So what does he do? He falls into the evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Verse number 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And sin entered at the tree, and he's saying it's the sin that dwells in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so it has been from the very beginning. And so has been the struggle with mankind since the offense at the tree. The whole issue is we now know good and evil, but we're unable to perform that which is good. And evil is always present with us. Unable to be righteous, unable to be godlike on our own. You know, in Sunday school in 1 Timothy, we looked at the mystery of godliness and how God is making us godlike today by Him making Himself manifest in us. Boy, that's an amazing thought. But our problem since the tree is we can't be godlike. Unable to perform that, knowing good and evil, and being unable to perform that which is good. Look at verse number 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. And that is the cry of man from the beginning, is it not? That's the cry of man since partaking of the tree. Who shall deliver the wretched man that I am? Paul says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so there is the good, the law of God, and there is the evil, the law of sin, not doing the good. So the tree and the law serve the same purpose. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents the law. The law furthered the function of the tree. The law resumed the ministry of the tree, making it exceedingly sinful, namely the ministration of death. But the tree, both the tree and the law, present an alternative to God. The tree in the garden presented an alternative to God because God says, "Here's my way, Adam. You can partake of every tree in the garden. Don't partake of that tree." The other trees were God's way. God gave Adam a way out. And what did man do? They did it their own way. And so too, the law represents an alternative to God. Does it not? God says today, "Believe on my Son." It's faith that pleases God. And Paul warns man again and again, those who have trusted in the gospel for salvation, and he warns them, and he's surprised how soon they're removed from the grace of God into the law. And he warns men, don't partake of the law. That's an alternative to what God is doing today. Both present an alternative. So men must choose between life and death, the tree of life, the tree of death, between God and between the law. Am I going to go about to establish my own righteousness through the works of the law? Or am I going to do things God's way and come to Him and just put my faith in what He's done and partake of His righteousness? There's two alternatives here. All right, let's look at the last point and we'll close. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. The last similitude that I wanted us to look at here. And the point is simple. The law, what was the law nailed to? The law was nailed to the cross, right? That's what Paul tells us. Let's read the verse and then we'll talk about the counterpart of that statement. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," that's your inability to perform, right? "You being dead in your sins, you've transgressed the law, you're dead. You have no life. Hath he quickened together with him." There's the life that God gives, quickened. God gave life. "Having forgiven you all trespasses." God forgives you. Adam and Eve trespassed. They broke God's commandment. And here it says, "And you who were dead in your sins, hath he given life, having forgiven you all trespasses." Verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." What's that? What's the ordinances? There's the law. "Which was contrary to us." That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7, right? It's contrary to who we are. The things we don't want to do, we do. The things we do want to do, we don't. "And took it out of the way." He took the law out of the way, nailing it to the cross. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day." Don't let any man put you back under the law and judge you. So the law was nailed to the cross. And turn back to Romans chapter 5. The law was nailed to the cross. And the tree's curse died on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." There's the offense of the tree. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam at the tree, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we'll talk about the fate of the trees themselves. But what we saw tonight is that the fate of the ministry of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, was dealt with by Christ on the cross. It was a ministry of death, and as the law was nailed to the cross, the tree, the issue of the tree, was dealt with at the cross as well. The one man's offense was dealt with by the one man who was obedient. And through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to partake of that life that was offered to Adam and Eve back at the very beginning, where he said, "Here's the tree of life." And you think, why didn't Adam and Eve partake of that tree, right? Well, why don't you partake of that tree? I'm assuming all of you here tonight are saved. Maybe there's someone who's listening that's not. We sit here and think, why in the world would Adam and Eve partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil when they had every other tree and the tree of life? And it's the same thing that men do today. Life is offered freely to you. God says, "Here's my son. He's died for you. You don't have to do anything. You can partake of salvation freely." What did he say about the tree of life? You can partake of every other tree freely. Salvation is given freely today. Why don't you partake of it? Partake of the life, because Christ dealt with the issue that entered into mankind at the tree when he himself was hung on the tree. Let's be thankful for that salvation. Let's be thankful for that solution. And it's amazing to think that we can partake of the same life that they had opportunity to partake of back in Genesis chapter number 2. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. I'm thankful for the wonderful treasures that are contained in it, Lord. And thank you for the lessons that we can learn from back in Genesis and just understanding your overall purpose and all everything that you've done. We're thankful for your son who has died for us, Lord. We're thankful that not only did he die for us, but you've offered us that salvation freely, just as you've always offered life. You offered that life there at the very beginning freely for mankind to partake of. You're doing that for us now, today, in the dispensation of grace, and we're looking forward to enjoying that life with you for all of eternity future. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.